what's up, guys, and welcome to Let's Get Real with me, Brandon Ho. It's a show where we talk about real stories, journeys of faith, and of course, these stories are very amazing stories from amazing individuals. But before we get to that, first, let's roll this very, very familiar intro that we all miss. That's right! Today's guest is a very special one. It's a she. Hallelujah. We always get men. Now, I didn't want to disturb the intro, but as I was the intro was playing, right, this gangster intro, there were so many thoughts about my guest today. Now, she is a very victorious woman, someone that I really admire. She doesn't know this because we've only met for the first time online about 5 minutes before this. But I've listened to her speak before. I actually listened to her testimony online as well, multiple recordings of her interview, of her testimony. And it was my desire, you know, that I really wanted to get her on the show. And I'm so happy and so honored and so privileged to be able to have her on Let's Get Real and for her to accept this invitation. So without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls out there, please help me welcome for the first time on Let's Get Real, it is Reverend Tryphena Law. Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, you can say hello right now, Reverend Tryphena.
Wow, hi. I'm just amazed that I'm here.
Now, Reverend Tryphena, how are you doing today? Have you eaten? Have you makan and everything?
Well, I'm doing a little not too well.
Ayo, why, you
know? Yeah, I had a latte and I think the milk didn't do too well.
I love how you started it with almost too much information before we even started. Already tell us that you drink latte but didn't go down too well. Okay, now I won't ask I won't ask you the conclusion of that. We leave it as that.
That's right, better.
But anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. Truly, you know, it is a privilege to have you. And
it's my joy to be here, Brandon.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't want to give too much away. It's just that I've listened to your testimony more than once, and and I've heard a lot about you. Yeah. And the thing is that I don't know why we put off till so long. I think last season we did want to invite you, and then somehow we didn't make it. And so this season, let me just tell everyone, when I invited her, right, it was one of the easiest things to do. She was straight away, her reply, I sent a long email with the deck and everything. Her reply was very simple. Okay, come, let me see how I can help you. So quick, so easy, so convenient, and so flexible. So I really praise God of how willing you are to serve Him in this way. Now, today we're going to be talking about your testimony, your journey of faith, and that is the premise of the show. You've had a very colorful life. You've had a very, I would say an amazing testimony, one that I would never would imagine if I were to just look at you today and talk to you right now. And if I didn't know anything about your past, if I just talk to you regularly, I would never in 100 years imagine you had such a testimony. That much I can tell you. So before we get to anything else, maybe for some of the younger viewers or some of the people who may not know who you are and what you do, if you don't mind, maybe you can just give a very quick 1 minute introduction about yourself, you know, where you're from and what do you do, what ministries you're involved in.
Okay, now, my name is Tryphena, surname is Law, and if anyone call me Big Ling, then I know that, you know, I've known them since ancient of days.
That's a Chinese name, Big Ling.
Yes, okay. I'm the executive director for PLUC, which stands for Pursuing Liberty Under Christ. Mm-hmm. It is a specialized work. Okay, I work among those with gender issues, the LGBT, especially with the LGMB and sometimes the T. Okay, why am I doing what I'm doing? It's because many moons ago I was once there. So I was a lesbian before. Today we don't use the word ex gay, we don't use the word post gay, but the newer term that we use today is called rainbow crosser. So I'm a rainbow crosser. Okay? Wow. But I think importantly, Brandon, I'm a child of God lah.
Amen. Yep. And that's your identity, so, right? Is your identity, and this is how you identify yourself. Not so much of ex-gay or rainbow crosser.
Rainbow crosser, no lah.
You are a child of the Most High God.
Yes, fantastic. That's right.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, Reverend Tryphena, or may I call you Tryphena?
Please do. Please, because my name itself is really, my name itself is really so long, and then you plus the Reverend at the back, I mean the front, you know, I think we will have the whole show with just calling my name.
Okay, then I shall introduce, or rather I will call you Tryphena. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes, please.
Tryphena, may I know, what is your family background like? Now, LGBT is, at least in Malaysia, it is a very, very delicate, it's a very sensitive topic.
Yes,
and to do what you do, you know, we'll talk about your ministry maybe a little bit later on, but to do what you do is certainly not easy. Because it's you're working in a very sensitive climate in an environment where this is, a lot of times it's shielded, a lot of times it's not out in the open. So before that, we want to talk a little bit about your background, your past and your history and your testimony as well. So maybe you can tell us, what was your family background like? What did growing up for Tryphena look like?
Wow. Well, a typical Chinese family with the expectation of the firstborn should be a son.
Oh.
Okay. but oops came, you know. Well, the firstborn is a daughter, and that happens to be me. So I have three other siblings. Okay, two boys and a girl. Both my parents, very simple family. We are not from the what they call the upper class and so forth, and a family that is simple enough in the sense. Okay, I never wanted to be born in this family, honestly speaking, because number one is my dad is a Hakka, so you know lah, Hakka people very loud. You know, that was my assumption lah, and I grew up with that. My dad was not, I mean, he only managed to finish, I guess, was about, probably he finished his primary, never get a chance to do his secondary school. My mom never had a chance to study because the emphasis was always to give the best to boys and not so much to girls. So, but she worked very hard in a way that she sneaked out and tried to attend some of the night classes, and she was able to actually read newspaper in a sense. Very hardworking. Mom is very hardworking. Somehow or another, my dad kind of inherited certain bad habits like drinking and gambling. So when we grew up, we had to actually live with this kind of environment.
Now, obviously, the central topic is, you know, like you say, you are now a rainbow crosser, a child of God, though. And when we talk about LGBT, a lot of the conversation actually also, you know, I've heard a lot about this where people say they are born like that. And and you hear a lot of these stories where, you know, it's not by choice. And was it the same case with you, or was it a product of your environment? Would you say it's because, you know, when you hear about this, a lot of them have broken families as well. Maybe the father figure was also very distorted. And they're very, very varying experiences, very varying sexual experiences that also cause and contribute to this. So for you, how did this tendency develop? You know, when did this homosexual tendencies develop, and how did it develop for you?
Yeah. Well, I think if people say that, you know, you're not born this way, and some of them will say that, oh, I'm born this way. Well, there's always an argument there. Honestly speaking, Brandon, you think I want to be born this way, man? No, I actually didn't understand why, even when I was very young, I was, I guess, was probably even in my late primary school days, maybe at the age of 10, 11, 12, I began to have that admiration for same sex, okay? But during my days, we don't really know the word. I mean, maybe I was naive, lah. I don't know the word called lesbian, you know. Then when I was in secondary school, I was still having this admiration for same sex. I tend to be closer to girls. Okay, I tend to like them for some of the things that they have, lah.
Yeah.
You know? For example, maybe feminine or long hair, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So I was drawn to them, but I never knew that that was causing sex attraction. I never knew that I was actually very subtly entering to this word lesbianism in that sense. Okay, never thought that I was that. In fact, it didn't dawn upon me that, you know, you're born this way or whatever. But it was only until my early young adult days, in my early 20s, that I started to, I had sort of like an opening that I explored, but I was closeted, Brandon. Yep. There are some that, you know, they are out of closet, you know, they would just tell everybody that they are one, but I was closeted because of my profession during then. Okay. So if you ask me today, there are many contributing factors. It's very complex and everyone is different. But as for myself, I think first thing first is the distorted belief system that I have. Okay. Why do I say that? The first thing is this, coming into this world as a girl, I realized that being the firstborn and being a girl, my parents have very high expectation on me. You know, they always say this, you know, you are the big cheche, so, you know, or the big sister, so you got to be a good role model for your younger ones. That was the assumption I had. So I began to develop that belief system in me that in order to do good, then I will be loved, because that's my understanding that was being presented by my parents. You know, parents, they always say, hey, you do good, you be good, then we love you. You know, yeah, that was what I had, you know. So actually, I end up being a people pleaser in a sense, because I remember when I was about 5, 6 years old, I had an early sexual awakening. I was playing with my neighbor, and this particular girl, which is, I think she's about same age with me. So she was lying on top of me and she started to touch me at places not supposed to. And that actually gave me a different kind of belief system, which means that, when somebody likes you or loves you, they can just simply touch you. Okay. But little did I know that at much later years in my life, that was not supposed to be an incident that should happen to a young girl at my age. Okay. So I had what we call the too early sexual awakening, or maybe young people, it's like, okay, you're not supposed to know what it means to be touched, but then somebody touched you. So that became like an opening. But also at the same time, when I was about 5, 6, that was when my dad lost his money in gambling. In fact, he lost his whole business. Oh, this one is something I never tell before in most of my story, is that because my father sells eggs that time. He delivered eggs to people. So he had a very small mini, we call it more, the time was what, a Cooper, you know, very old kind of Cooper, which you can put eggs at the back of the car. And because he lost his money, so the car was being towed away. And I was crying buckets and buckets. I was like that car was my security. That car was my joy. And it was taken away.
But you understood what was happening, because he had to sell it away or no money to pay, and then it was being told. You understand at a young age what was happening.
Actually, I didn't really understand what was it. All I knew was that my parents were fighting, and my mother was coming to me and crying.
To you?
Come on, Brandon. I was only about 6 years old.
Right.
So she was crying in front of me, you know, and being a little girl, I was like comforting her. You know, normally we'll do that, right? Mommy, don't cry, don't cry, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Ma, don't cry, you know. But actually, I didn't know what was happening. I would say that if I were to recall right now, I was terrified. I was terrified thinking that could it be something I did wrong that they were arguing, because it was a very serious argument. And that changes the dynamic of their relationship. Because my mom, since that day onwards, didn't want to talk to my father much. And now at an older age, I understand that the trust was no longer there. Okay? So I became the sort of like a surrogate husband to my mother. I became like a listener to my mother.
So you became the confidant then, whenever your mom had problems, even personal problems and relationship problems with her husband, she will turn to you instead.
I think anything that she wants to grumble, I became the what law? Became the listener.
So, and this started from a very young age, from 5 or 6 years, all the way up until you were
Yes,
you
yes.
know, in high school.
Yeah. I guess maybe I was also a bit smart lah, so my mother talked to me. Yeah.
I love how you slip that in there. Huh? One full circle. I think I must be smart also lah. That's why.
Yeah.
Right.
I think in my during those days I was like I mean I studied in primary school in Malay speaking school. I didn't go to the Chinese speaking school. I was supposed to go, so because of that I could read Malay. I could read English. So I became the smarter one in that sense.
Right.
Being the eldest law, yeah.
What about, you know, what about your siblings? Because you said you had three siblings. Mm. So there are three people, you know, younger than you. Yep. And obviously you said this carried through maybe by habit. Mm. Because your mom started talking to you at 6 years old. Your siblings would have been babies or toddlers, you know, infants. So obviously your mom can't speak to them. So your mom would automatically go to you. And this trend continued till you were high school and young adult. So, you know, what about your other siblings? I'm sure they would have witnessed all of this happening. They would have seen with their own eyes under the same roof. They would have seen all of this happening.
You got to understand, Brandon, you got to understand that it was within a period of 5 to 6 years that they had four of us.
Right.
So our age gap is not very far away.
Mm.
Okay, but because the expectation is on the elders, on me to be the one that is taking care of the rest. So even when I was growing up, I remembered when I was about age of probably 8 or 9, you know, we rented a place and I was really helping my mom to wash clothes. Mm. You know, my mom would take back some clothes from, you know, that those days, I don't have so much of all these DIY laundry thing lah. Right. So you send your clothes to some people to wash and I was really helping even at those age. So during those time where we were washing clothes are the moment that my mom would start to tell me a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, and my dad was because he's lost his business and he ended up doing other hard labor work, you know, being a co-assistant to a lorry driver and stuff like that, you know. So, and then later on, he became a taxi driver. So it was a very hard living, I would say that, yeah. So as for the rest of my siblings, my second one is my brother. Of course, during the primary days, they don't shoulder so much as the elders. Mm. But later on in secondary school days, they started to also have to shoulder a lot of other things. And if you ask me today, I think that particular, I mean, that incident of my parents, their relationship, somehow or another did impact each one of them in a very different way. You know, it would have changed, like, for example, the brother after me, he would be much more, he's very careful with money because he didn't want to be like my dad. Because later on, my dad, due to certain work that he was doing, which is illegal, and due to this kind of business, he ended up having a lot of debts. And I remember there was a season that we had about, I think, nearly 10 to 12 along, you know, we borrowed, if I'm not mistaken. So imagine my house every day got along come and collect money.
That's insane.
So with that, I can understand today why my brother is so careful about using money and spending money. He wants to make sure that there will always be something for rainy days. And then I look at my sister, that will also have certain impact in her own relationship, in her marriage. And then I look at my youngest brother, you know, there are other impacts in his life as well. Somehow or another, as for my path, it has impacted my gender identity.
I understand. Yeah. Now, this gender identity issue or crisis, you know, it started, I'm amazed how you remember from 5 or 6 years old. And I think it's also the Lord who allowed you to remember at what points in your life that you can rebuke it and you can break it in the spirit. Yeah. So I think it's really the Holy Spirit that also led you to this point. And it's amazing how you remember, you know, at 5, 6 years old, you can remember that back. That way back. So this
I was very naughty lah, Brandon. That's why I remember.
And very smart also. Very smart also. I help you. Very smart also. Good memory.
Thank you.
So did this carry through all the way through primary? Like you mentioned just now, you also admired same sex, right? You admired the same sex for many different qualities in primary. Did any point in your high school or, you know, where you fell in love with a guy, where you say like, maybe I fell in love with the guy. Oh, maybe I'm snapping out of it now. Yes, maybe I'm suddenly released or recover or whatever you want to call it. Did that any happen to you at all?
Well, if I'm going to tell this story right now, you know, my 30 over years ago friends, and if they happen to hear it, they're going to have a good laugh.
Share. I want to hear.
I think when I was about 13 years old, I was actually, I was in love with someone in my class. I mean, he's not a good looking guy.
Hey, like, that's so mean. How can you? Ayo, what if he's listening?
He knows that. Well, okay, like, he's probably good looking for his wife right now.
Okay, we give him that.
I mean, he wasn't that kind of guys that would be the first preference for girls. Okay. Yeah, but I was actually drawn to him because we were both in the badminton team.
Mm.
And I was actually very much attracted to him. Somehow or another, I was attracted to him during that time. Yeah, and I remember there was once, you know, he decided to walk me home after our training. So he was, normally he cycles, but that day he pushes his bicycle. So, you know, he was walking and talking to me, and then he began to tell me how much he liked. Wow, I thought he was about to say how much he likes me. Yeah, but too bad. He said how much he likes the girl next door. So, yeah, I mean, I did like guys. I mean, he's one of those early ones that I was actually attracted to.
Right. Yeah.
But his response at that moment, mm-hmm. Being someone that's so young and so immature, and I began to build another wrong belief system. And that was like all the guys in the world only like girls who are slim and long hair.
Why? Because the girl he liked got slim and long hair.
Yes.
Right.
I'm going to ask, you know, maybe I should ask Brandon. Brandon, you like girls with long hair or short hair?
No, my wife has long hair and she's very, very slim. Phoebe is very tall, very slim and has long hair. So
when I get back home one day to the Lord, I'm going to ask God this question. How come all the guys like girls with long hair?
I also don't know. You ask me, I think it's a matter of just normal. I don't know. Maybe it's just my preference. I told Phoebe, if you ever cut short hair... Not if you ever I also don't want her to cut short hair. I like her the way she is, Yeah, but very interesting though that you know it. You sort of had this thing where you actually also got attracted to guys.
Yes.
Did that bring you a lot of comfort? Because at that stage you would also have same sex attraction already. So being attracted to guys, did that give you sort of a comfort? Like okay, well I'm actually not. Or did it?
Like I say just now, you know, Brandon. I'm not aware of this same-sex attraction.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not aware there's this word same-sex attraction. It's just that I had what we call admiration for those who pretty calibre with charisma, a strong personality kind of girls. Okay, so I was like drawn to not everyone is my cup of tea. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got taste. Yeah. So I was drawn to that type, but somehow or another, this guy, like I say, he's not the first kind of choice for many, but there was something about him that I was drawn to. Then when he say he likes someone else, and that really, well, broke like I heart. Say, I was immature at that time, it broke my heart, and also in a way, it gave me a wrong perception, which is not his fault. But I have a wrong perception that guys only like girls that way.
So, you grew up not being that way then? You grew up never having long hair? You know?
Oh, I never had long hair.
Never?
I never. Never.
Right.
If you ever get a chance to see some of my very young photos, my hair, the hair is much shorter than this. Okay, obviously today it's more curly. I think the longest I've tried was down to somewhere near my shoulder. And that also, it was so curly that I couldn't take it. Because I got curly hair, so I don't like it long. And also, I don't like it long. It's reason being I was a sports person. Okay, don't be deceived by my look today, okay? I was very active in sports, yes. So when you're active in sports, you prefer it short.
All right, Tryphena, now, obviously we've heard a little bit about your journey as well, right? How you developed this homosexual tendencies, how you had admiration, but at the same time, you actually fell in love with a boy before as well. But unfortunately, that experience led you to believe a different belief system, and you know, that only guys, only like slim-haired, you know, slim long-haired girls. Unfortunately, I'm also in that camp, okay?
It's okay. I forgive you.
You forgive me. Thank you. Thank you. Very gracious of you. Now, I want to know the part where, because I actually watched one of the testimonies that you gave, and it's so interesting, and I cannot imagine living like this, okay? Because you were actually a Christian. Meaning to say that, you know, I often ask this question to a lot of my guests, because a lot of them had this moment of transformation where they heard about Jesus and then they accepted Jesus, you know, and then after that, their life changed. But for you, very different. You were actually already a Christian. In fact, you were a Christian for most part of your life, even going to the point of being in seminary and things like that.
That's
so,
right.
Rewind first. Don't have to go so far. Rewind back to, you know, when you were living, you know, when did you even first hear about Jesus Christ? And you know, when did you first accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior?
If I first heard about Christ is when I was about 9 years old, through my tuition teacher.
Okay.
That brought me to Sunday school. And I only went to Sunday school like probably once or twice, as far as I could remember. And my mom stopped me from going. And then after that, at the age of 12, I have a classmate that gave me a very small thorn and tattered Bible. Okay, and I kind of kept it because I haven't even accepted Christ. I told her that time that I can't be a Christian because my parents were not allowed.
Mm.
But it was at the age of 13. There's a lot of significant incidents happened at the age of 13.
Right.
So when I was at the age of 13, I have this particular class monitor, and today, if I'm not mistaken, he's really the Wycliffe or Wycliffe regional director.
Wow.
Okay, now he's in Singapore. Mm. And being the class monitor, he will be extending the invitation to all of us to attend Christian Fellowship. And I was, I was in school during the 1980s. So you can imagine how old I am this year.
Don't want to imagine. Okay? No need to calculate. Go on.
So that time I attended the Christian Fellowship, and the reason I attended was very simple. I was greedy. I wanted the gift that they have, promised us that if you stay on for 12 weeks, then we were going to give you this gift. So I stayed on. After all, nothing to do, ma. So I stay and stay and stay. And finally, one day, it was a very simple scripture, okay? The most of the football fan in UK will probably know. It's called John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So it was, I don't know why, it was this scripture that touches my heart. And I felt love that day. And I gave my life to Jesus. I became an underground Christian. I didn't dare to tell my family, especially my mom.
What were your parents? Were they Taoists, Buddhists? Or...
Yes, they were Taoists. They were Taoists, yes. Imagine, you know, at certain days during Chinese New Year, they would go vegetarian, that kind of thing. Yeah. So in a way, I didn't want to tell them, but I felt that that was a decision I made. But again, bear in mind, I have a wrong belief system. Is that, you know, I want to do good, then I will be loved.
So your way of love is, it must be earned, basically, as simple as that.
Yes, it must be earned. So even being a Christian, I need to earn the love from God. So I need to do and do and do that. That's why I end up still, you know, doing a lot of things. When I was in secondary school, I was serving in Christian Fellowship. And I remember one day I was attending evangelism seminar. I was attending a seminar, and then I came back home. My mom came to know that I became a Christian. And I was actually chased out of the house at the age of 13. All she did was just, you know, took some of my clothes, put in a plastic bag, and threw it out.
Wow.
Yeah. I was very young, I think about 14, maybe, you know, 13, 14. I can't remember. It was somewhere there. So all I did was I cry, and I pick up the bag and I walk back inside the house. What can I do?
I was expecting some very sad, the rain come down.
Hello, hello, hello. You think what drama?
Just think I walk back. So your parents actually disapprove then? They strongly disapprove.
Yes, strongly disapprove. So I but you know, I was actually the love I had for Christ was there lah. I still pray, you know, I say, Lord, help me. Even if I have to be underground for this period of time, I don't want to lose my faith. But at the same time, I do have the admiration, but I didn't act it out. It's just the admiration for same sex, you know. Like I say, I wasn't even a lesbian then, okay? So I just continue to be an underground Christian.
Now, we're going to fast forward a little bit to the time when you are now in your young adult. You know, now you are out of the house. Now you can make decisions for your own life. And I think that begins this transition where, you know, the word lesbian now can start to come out already.
Yeah, because
you know, you had this same-sex attraction, but because of, you know, maybe you're naive, you don't even know how to address it. You don't maybe even have some fears and some inner conflicts to act out on it. Then come your young adult years. And this is where I would say that, you know, it became full-blown, right? Was it? Is it safe to say that it was in young adult?
Yes, it was.
So what happened there?
I actually got baptized when I was about, come to think of it, I think when I was about 20 years old. I managed to get permission from my mom, from my parents, that I got baptized, okay? And then I ended up in a very noble profession. I became a teacher. So I was posted away to teach, you know. But when I was away from home, that's where I felt loneliness began to creep in. I felt like a loss of support system and so forth. Okay, even though I was in a church and I served in that church, you know, I helped to be a worship leader. I was the Royal Rangers commander, you know, one of those officers, you know, so forth. I was involved in a lot of things because my belief system, you do in order to earn the love from God, okay? So I was actually busy doing and serving. But it was then that I actually, how would I say, it opens my eyes towards certain things, okay? One of it is that I got involved with somebody, but it's not really really involved in the relationship, but what happened was this particular person did something on me, all right? We were very intimate physically, okay? So that actually opens up the door for me in a way, a different world that I didn't know that I have actually entered into lesbianism. Because it all started with just maybe very emotionally dependent on these people. And I couldn't live without them in a sense. So they became my idol. They became my all in all in a way. And of course, in my teens, I actually got addicted to pornography. Okay, which I didn't say just now. So porn actually intensified the lust in me. So when I was having a very unhealthy emotional relationship with these girls, I ended up being physical with them. So initial ones were, I think the first one was I was kind of like I would say I was the victim.
Yeah.
All right. So then after that, another one, I too was the victim, but I kind of responded. Okay. But later on, I became a perpetrator. That means my partners after that were those that I took a lead. I took lead and I actually hurt them in a way. Because they were not lesbians. They were straight, but I couldn't control when lust, you know, took over me. I lost control in a way, and I did hurt these people.
Now, you were in a same-sex relationship for a number of years.
More than 10 over years. Yeah, at least about 10 over years. Yeah.
Did you ever have a serious relationship where you thought this is something, this is serious, it could lead to something else? Did you ever have a serious relationship in that more than 10 years?
I think when I after that, of course, I went into Bible seminary. Okay. Again, thinking that you know, I do extra to earn his love. Okay. But I actually do have a heart to serve God, because that was what was imprinted in me in my secondary school days. We were exposed to all the different organizations, exposed to serving God and so forth. So my heart was always there. That was the soft part in me. And I knew that I love God, that I want to serve him. But of course, with that earning, you know, the love from him. Yeah. So I went to Bible seminary. Lo and behold, I actually got involved in a way, okay? And there was a period of time that I was with one particular person, then living together, you know? But when the person left me, that was when my whole world was devastated, okay? Those earlier partners, those that left me, I was devastated, but not as devastated as this.
Why? What was the difference?
I think reason being was she was my all in all.
I see. Okay. Like, this is the most serious one, basically.
The most serious one. Like you say, the one that you would be very serious to think of a future with her and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, when she left me the time, I was so devastated, so broken, that I was at the verge of suicidal. Reason being, I was already serving God full time. So I don't think I could I don't think I could go on anymore serving the Lord. And I, honestly speaking, I come to the stage during that time, I don't even bother that if I go to hell.
Wow.
Because the pain was so deep that I just want to end my life after she walked away from me. Of course, now I'm so thankful that she walked away.
Yeah, and praise God, you know, you had suicidal thoughts, but you didn't carry through with it.
I did, actually. What I did was that I took my car key. I was about to go out and want to start the car and drive. And at that time, LDP was very new. So I wanted to drive along LDP very fast and then just get into an accident and die. Okay, that was what I wanted to do. Because I don't want to drink anything, all those things I don't want. So I just wanted to be a daredevil, you know, a Ferrari one, you know, and then that's it. But something supernatural happened. As I was about to leave the door, the house, opened the gate, you know, but I just couldn't walk. I couldn't walk. I can't remember for how long, but it was like a long while. I couldn't walk. I was having battle there. Imagine, you want to die, so cannot die, right? Gangkor, right? I mean, it's really torturing. You want to die, so cannot die, you know. So I was actually having that battle. Until I say, God, you win. So the moment when I say, God, you win, I was able to walk.
Just the same way when your mom kicked you out, then you just take the thing and then walk back in. So same thing.
The one too young.
Oh, that one too young. This one next level already.
Yeah, I mean, since he doesn't want me to die, then there must be something.
So how
that was actually the road? Sorry?
I mean, I cannot imagine then, because I want to ask you two things actually from this. Number one was that internal struggle. You're literally like you remind me of a story almost like Jekyll and Hyde, you know, where you have this dual life, you know.
Yes.
And you tell me that you're serving in ministry, somewhere you're serving full time, you know, and you were in Bible seminary.
4 years.
For 4 years, some more. No joke, you know. This is not like a one-year course. It's a proper, a four-year theology course. And at the same time, you are also living in this sin. How does one reconcile this? How does it... I mean, there must be some form of internal, tug and pull.
No reconciliation. No,
cannot, right?
You can't reconcile. Can't. In fact, like I say, the very thing I'm... At that moment, I'm still sane. It's really by grace of God.
Right.
There's lots of tension. I guess I numb it. I think the pain, the internal pain within myself, I numb it with messing my life with lust.
Right.
I numb it with what we call really messing up my life with multiple sex partners and so forth. yeah, it was that messy, my life.
Wow.
Okay. If it's not because of grace of God, Brandon, I think today I would have HIV.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, so the only way I knew how to cope with those pain and those conflict was using other substance. You know, I mean, usually people use substance abuse. Yeah. I use porn.
Yeah.
Porn as my drug, to numb it. Yeah. And of course, being involved in that relationship is unhealthy, but yet there were the moments of divine kind of a relationship, you know. So, but it kind of satisfied you temporarily, okay. I struggle. There were days where I felt like, definitely I was a hypocrite, okay. I would say, you know, that I was like a Pharisee then. That's why I come to a stage where I didn't want to live anymore. You know, when my partner left me, I didn't bother about really eternal life. You know, at that moment I was so broken that all I could think of was that enough already. The pain, just enough. Yeah.
Now, sorry.
So it was a split personality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. How does, you know? Because at the same time, you know, while you're serving, God would have tried to reach out to you, I think, multiple times to, you know. And at the same time, it's also, you have built like this wall around you where, you know, you derive so much pleasure from it. You kind of don't even want God to be in this domain. You know, it's okay, you know, you can be in this other side of the fence. So, you know, it's...
I think the belief system that was distorted was never been renewed.
Mm.
You see, I knew the Lord here. Intellectually, in a way, okay, you know, and in terms that academically, I knew how to behave myself as a Christian, okay, but I didn't have a relationship with Him. It was actually rotten. I was all rotten inside. But I guess I have to admit it. There was great pride in me. I was very egoistic. I was very arrogant. I was very, you know, prideful, you know, being a Christian and then later on serving the Lord full time. And pride will never kind of like, when you have so much pride, you will never like to come down. Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
Let's focus now and bring the story back to this road to victory, road to grace by God's grace now. Now you've suffered the biggest heartbreak in your life, contemplated suicide, just wanting to end it all. You know, you've been living a double life as well. You yourself say, you know, you're full of pride. You couldn't even see past your own this one, you know. And how do you get back on this road, you know, so broken, so rotten, you know, so wretched. And now, you know, here is God offering the olive branch. How do you get back to that road of recovery? I think a lot of it has to do with facing yourself as well, you know. So maybe you can talk us through that road now. How did you even come back to the Lord to be where Reverend Tryphena Law is today?
Wow, that would take another 45 minutes. I say just now, that night was the longest night in my life. And I think the first thing the morning I did was I called one of my Bible school mate, and she knew what I was going through. She knew in a way that my past, you know, that time for her was my past, but I told her I've never really left my past. I was still living the double life. And she was very gracious. She you know, she's not just prayed for me. Like, you know, she kind of like journeyed with me in a way that asked me whether I would think of talking to somebody. And then she came up with this name, which was also in my mind at the same time. No, God is very gracious to me. I want to say that He is. He loves everybody, but I always find that He loves me extra, you know. And He's so gracious to me that the name that was brought up, this couple happened to be here that time. They were missionaries to Malaysia, Reverend Mike Constantine and his wife, Sister Diane. Okay, probably Brandon, you might know them or heard of them before. So they happened to be in the seminary that time, and I took up all the courage that I have to just call them. After all, cannot die. So since cannot die, I must get something to do. Because I was so lost. Let me just put it this way. I was going through grief. I was so lost. I didn't know what is next. And I was also fatigued in a way. Very tired. physically, emotionally, no need to say la, spiritually, even worse. La, it was already dry up, okay? So I didn't know what to do. So I gave them a call. And truly, it's really God's timing because they normally don't on their phone when they were teaching. But they just turned on the phone and I was able to get them and went to see them that day itself. So imagine all the courage I had that left. You know, I just go and see them and I took up all the courage I have to just tell them that Pastor Mike, Sister Diane, I'm a lesbian. I'm very thankful because the way they responded at that time, I think that was the turning point in my life. The first turning point. They look at me and they say this to me, Tryphena, Jesus loves you. Wow. I cry and cry and cry and cry. Because I just couldn't accept that. How can Jesus love a wretched, filthy fella like me who messed up her life like no business, egoistic, you know, rebellious, disobedient, and so forth. But God just let out His love through this couple. And I just cry and cry and cry. And they just told me this simple word, Jesus loves you. And then they walked through with me, you know. So, of course, what happened after that, I couldn't stay on in the ministry because I needed time to work through my own healing. But of course, at the same time, I felt that, you know, I shouldn't be in the ministry. I need to work through my brokenness. So I tendered in a 24 hours resignation. Imagine I graduated, you know, finished my 4 years, and I was serving as the youth and children pastor in my church. So the moment I tendered in the 24 hours resignation, that was the greatest regret I've ever done in my life, but I had to do it at that time. I shook the whole church. My pastor was in shock, and I didn't give any like advance notice on it's a 24 hours. And I told him this, I say, Pastor, please let me go for the sake of my soul. And I walk away. Of course, I was smart lah. Prior to that, I started to pack my things already lah. Pack, 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 you know. Then on that day, I just threw in the letter and I left. I shook the whole church and I hurt the whole church. That's the greatest regret. And that began my road towards a journey of discovering who God has made me to be. Malaysia didn't have this kind of ministry during then. So it was through this spiritual parents, Pastor Mike and his wife. They found me a ministry in Singapore. And I traveled down to Singapore week after week for 16 weeks just to get counseling. So it's a combination of counseling and pastoral care. And then I joined the support group. But I'm very thankful because God placed me in a home where my host and hostess, you know, loved me just the way I am. So what God did in my life was that He wanted me to experience His love unconditionally. I don't have to earn it. It is given to me.
Wow.
So that was the transformation. And that brought me back to the Lord. Yeah.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very touching as well. And you know, if I could,
I'm still tearing.
If I could ask, I mean, this is the Holy Spirit working. This is, you know, when you look back, I'm sure, you know, you yourself are so touched by God's goodness.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
You know, now if I were to ask you this question today, when you look back on your life, when you look back at all that has transpired, what can you say about our Lord Jesus?
Well, He's always a God of second chance. I've never really shared much on this, but later on when I started to get into the ministry, okay, during my first 5 years, at least 5 to 6 years in my ministry, I had ups and downs, and there were moments that I fell, okay. But that time, during the time when I fell, my spiritual parents and together with some other spiritual leaders globally, they walked with me, they walked through with me. And if I look back today, I needed that second fall, because that second fall strengthened me even much more than ever before. So if you ask me, how do I see God today? He's a God that never gives up on us. He's a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us. Even though at our very vulnerable moment in our life, it's amazing lah, how he never give up on us lah, Brandon. Yeah.
Wow. That's very powerful. Thank you so much for being so honest, for being so genuine with us. I'm sure, you know, even as you are saying this as well, it's beautiful that you recognize that you are a child of God, and you recognize that we are loved. You know, and the only reason we can love is also because he chose to love us first. Reverend Tryphena, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your testimony, sharing your journey of faith. It's truly heart-wrenching at the same time, but very, very heartwarming. It's very touching as well. And when I hear your testimony, it just also reminds me as how much we need the Lord. We cannot do this by ourselves, how very weak and frail we are, and how wonderful and gracious it is to never give up on us. I cannot imagine at one point or any point in your life, you know, if the Lord were to say, I'm done with you, what kind of situation you would turn up. But never once you said that. So I want to say thank you so much for sharing. I'm so encouraged. I'm sure everybody who's listening right now also is so encouraged in their hearts and their spirits. So before I close, is it okay if we pray together and I just pray for you?
Sure. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's just pray for Reverend Tryphena. Lord Jesus, we just want to really, really thank you, Lord, for Reverend Tryphena's life, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you found her at such a young age, Lord, that you have never left nor forsake her, Lord. And the plans that you have for her, Lord Jesus, truly, Lord, at many points in her life, she couldn't see then, Lord. But today, as she looks back and she knows it's been you all along, Lord, that your hand, Lord Jesus, has been in her life, Lord, and just every step of the way. And truly, Lord Jesus, we come before you, Lord, to just thank you, Lord, for how willing she is to serve, Lord, how faithful she has been, oh Lord Jesus. And we want to pray, Lord, a prayer of blessing to be upon her right now, Lord Jesus, that especially in the ministry that she's doing, that she's serving in, Lord Jesus, to help others, Lord, who have gone through the same road that she has gone through, Lord, to walk that same road, Lord Jesus, as she journey with other people, Lord, she does life with them. We just want to pray, Lord, you grant her more and more grace, Lord, that the grace that has been shown to her, she'll multiply it, Lord Jesus, so others can see the love and the light of Christ through her life and through her words and her actions, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for using her, Lord, so mightily, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for her life, Lord. So we pray, Lord Jesus, you bless her ministry. You bless, Lord, Sister Tryphena, that, Lord Jesus, and every part of her life, Lord, she'll continue, Lord Jesus, to give you all glory, Lord. Give you all glory, honor, and praise, oh Lord Jesus. And that many, Lord Jesus, truly many, many people with this similar problem as well, Lord Jesus, this, Lord, will run to you, Lord, knowing there is an Abba Father who is ready to just love, embrace, and hug them, Lord Jesus, and welcome them, Lord, no matter. And you love them just as how they are, Lord. So we thank you for Reverend Tryphena. We pray, Lord Jesus, that through this testimony, Lord, many will come to know you. Bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much once again, Reverend Tryphena, for joining us today. We're very, very blessed and encouraged by your presence here. And to the rest of you, remember, if you want to join our community as well, we have a Discord server, and it's called Let's Get Real Malaysia. You can come and hang out with us. We have a lot of fun people there as well. The link is in the description. Just join our Discord server there and say hello to us. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Let's Get Real. And don't forget to follow us on all our other social media platforms. You've got Instagram, Facebook, and everything like that. And you can stream us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts as well. Once again, Reverend Tryphena, all glory goes to the Lord. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless. Any last words you want to say, or not, to anybody who's listening out there?
God is real.
Amen. Amen. Let's get real, man. Let's get real. God is real. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll see you guys again in the next episode. Bye-bye.